starting one is called pure. Now, the importance of this word is this is what every Christian should be. Now, I want to make very clear, and that's why I have up top, do not mistake true purity for what humans consider pure. Okay. And one mistake we tend to do is when you hear the word pure, don't most of us think good, right? When you say something's pure, we say, well, then they're good, right? But what about when something's pure evil or that's pure poison? It's still pure. See, pure, where we what we've allowed Satan to do in so many things is we have allowed him to take God strengthening words that we have to live in and distort it. And we go with the distorted word. That's why some people think love is that feeling you get inside. Why some people think sincerity is that feeling you have inside. Why we think peace is that situation that I'm in. All of those are false and dangerous. And you still got Christians living for those things, even though the Bible shows us all of these point towards God. Okay. Purity is based on God, nothing added or nothing taken away from it. Please understand that. So a good definition of pure, pure is when it is 100% what it really is. I know that sounds like I'm playing with words, but think about what I just said. Pure is when it's 100% what it really is. So remember, the way the truth in the life, which is the Bible, tells us what things really are. So when I add to that, I just made that definition impure. Or when I take away from that, I just made that definition impure. Did y'all catch that? This is necessary because what's happening and what has happened and where we're at today is Christians who or people who call themselves Christians are impure. So what does that mean? Okay. And like I said, in the world today, I've heard one time a person was talking about somebody and he was complimenting this person. He said, man, that person's so pure. They were as American as apple pie. And when people hear that, some people are like, oh, wow, that's so pure. No, that's still corrupt. All of it's corrupt. I don't care anybody you call wholesome. I don't care what family they were brought up in. I don't care whatever it was, all corrupt unless they're godly, unless they're a believer. And you're only credited with righteousness. When a person lives and understands that, that's when they're the true pure of God. But understand, I have to understand both pure when it comes evil, when it comes when it's evil and when it's good, but I understand what pureness of it is. Now, when I don't and I'm not pure, I'm in danger. Let's look at what he says here. First of all, purity is a mandatory characteristic of Christians that will be shown or not in how a person lives. So once again, lip service is meaningless. You can argue with me that you're a Christian as much as you want, but what he's letting you know is it will show in how you deal with things. Look what he says in Titus 1, 15 through 16. He says, to the pure, okay, and that's what Christians are supposed to be, all things are pure. Now, once again, a person who has the definition all mixed up thinks, well, that means all things are good, right? Now, we know that's not what it says. Hopefully, you know that's what it, not what it says. He's saying, no, to those who are Christian, know everything is what God says it truly is. You got what I'm saying? All things are pure, plain and simple. So we take it for what God says, period. Now, you may go, okay, of course I do. But how many times has the Bible said something, but you've seen, keyword seen, a situation, even though we know in the word, it tells us all people are evil, but you met this person that was so nice. So you start going, well, isn't there an exception? Why? Because you're not thinking or looking pure. Y'all catch that? See, a Christian will know, nope, they're evil. I already know it. I don't have to see what they do. I know it in the sense of, because God says it. The only thing I need to see is the Christ in them to know if it's righteous or if they're good. But he says, so those, he said, to the pure, all things are pure. So we understand it based on what the Bible says, period. But watch what he says about those who don't. But to those who are corrupted, okay, and that's the opposite of pure, and do not believe nothing is pure. In other words, yeah, some are evil, but there are some good people and God could be wrong. And you can't just read the Bible. And you hear people say crazy stuff and they'll believe half of it when it belongs to this group, but they'll ignore it when it belongs to this group. And we become hypocrites, which is a whole nother thing in itself. He says, do not believe nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences, watch this, are corrupted. And look, and this sounds like an insult, but it's a warning when he says they claim to know God, but watch this, but by their actions, they deny him. How in one breath I can say what the Bible says, he is the way, the truth, and the life, which covers, and the key word, the, saying he is it. I'm saying I agree with that, but my life shows, yeah, he could have been wrong, so I'm going to go marry this other person. Yeah, he could have been wrong, so I'm going to get revenge on this person here. Yeah, he could have been wrong, so I'm going to hold on to my kids in a way that goes against what the word said. Our actions show otherwise. That's when a person is corrupted. And this is good for us to understand that, because we watch the decisions we make and how we live. Is it 100% based on him? Or is there a mixture in there? And think about it. Corruption is dangerous because it's not just pure poison. You're corrupted. Corrupted means I come off as pure, but I have something in me that's poison. Right? Somebody who tries to poison you doesn't give you a cool ice cold glass of cyanide. No, because you're not going to drink it because you know it's cyanide. However, they'll give you an ice cold glass of water, but you don't know that there's cyanide in it. You understand that? And to where they're letting you know, because it's corrupted. So it's water, but the water is no longer pure. It's corrupted. And that's what happens to those who are corrupted. It says by their actions, they deny him. You watch how a person lives, and it'll tell you if they're corrupted or not. And he makes this case, which again, sounds like an insult, but he's just giving a warning. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Now, you know, I think a lot of us would take that as, man, I can't believe he said that. You understand that? We miss the fact that he's saying, if I'm corrupted, I'm worthless. Here's the problem. Majority are corrupted. Now, how can you say that? Look at us, because we make decisions along with. It may be some tradition, some family thing, something that's part of my being or my attitude, how I've always been. Or it could have been something that always seemed to work for me. But it's not in line with God. It's just what I do. But all the other stuff I do is Christian. Then I'm not pure. Then we allow Satan to come and we can't be perfect. Ain't nobody going to be perfect. As long as you're 80% Christian, 80% is like a B in class, so you're doing good. And let's say you're 90%. No, see, we have access to be 100% Christian. And as we go through the study, we're going to get an understanding of it and show how important it is for us to be that. Please don't believe that lie. You understand? We have the full access to perfection, believe it or not. Not in the way that you think. I myself and you yourself can't be perfect, but we have access to perfection. And that's what he expects of us. Okay? As we go through the study, hopefully you're grasping this and you'll get an understanding of this more and more. So now understand this. Make no mistake, purification is from God. Just like righteousness is from God. Remember how we get credited righteous? Purification is what he does to us. It's not something I do on my own. You understand this? It says in 1 John 1-8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So first of all, if I come in thinking I'm pure because I'm pure anyway, I already blew it. And you got some people that think that. I think they think there's something about them that's pure already. They were born righteous. And they'll say stuff like, no, I know I'm evil. Now, instead of going, man, do you understand that? Recognizing who we are, when I finally get to the point where what a wretched man I am, I'm not going to be able to be used by God. Do you get this? Because I'm going to think there's some parts that are good. I might do some bad stuff, but there are some parts that are good. Instead of taking what his word says, and he says the truth is not in us. It says, if we confess our sins, that means I recognize my sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, did you notice something? Because a big part of repentance is this confess our sins. Now, if I'm wandering around thinking I am sinless, or I just use the vague, yeah, I know I'm bad. You understand that? I haven't confessed my sins, because there are some who really think I'm not as bad as them, so I'm really not that bad. Still realizing, man, I'm horrible. Because the confessing is letting him know, I needed your mercy. I need your grace. And you'll live with that need, not with a, yeah, okay, I'll take some. You get this. But he's saying if the people who recognize it and confess and put it out there, it says he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And then here it is, purify us from all unrighteousness. And purifying means he will cleanse us from what unrighteousness made us do. And he'll clear us from having to live in unrighteousness. That purification is powerful that we only get from him. But, he says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. So mine isn't me going, yeah, okay, if you say I'm a sinner, then I am. It's me recognizing it because I trust in him. Do you get this? And his word has no place in our lives. For those people who really think there is a righteousness about me and what I did and where I'm at. Y'all get this? We'll close on this last part here. It is the blood of Christ that actually cleanses us. And those that are truly cleansed will show it in how they live. This is where the cleansing, you know, what can wipe away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because what he did, the cleansing of his blood is what purifies us. And remember, they used blood in the Old Testament to clean everything because it was a precursor to point towards what Christ is doing for us. So in 1 John 1:5-7, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. Okay. So we already know that, hopefully. If we claim to have fellowship with him, in other words, if I say I'm a Christian, watch this, yet walk in darkness. Y'all get that? So if I say I'm one thing, but I live another, we lie and do not live by the truth. Did y'all catch that? Okay. And that's what he's making us understand. We lie and we do not live by the truth. So the key of us understanding this, that if I am living a certain way, it doesn't matter what I say. My life is the evidence of what I am. If we walk in the light, then did y'all catch something there? It's not just if I walk the light, because he is the light, but if I walk in him. This is why you go to church, you get the word, you apply it, you're doing it in him. It's not me trying to be righteous myself. It's me walking in him. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, as Christ is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Because that's what Christ did. You're going to see that later on in the study. He walked in the light. Christ did this. He's God. But when he became man, he walked in the light. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Something to think about. Yes.
Okay. I got a question.
All right.
So, this blood, mm-hmm. is that this particular, the blood cleansing, is that when you commit yourself to Christ, mm-hmm. but then after that, you know, how certain Christians say, I plead the blood of Jesus, mm-hmm. or, you know, those sort of things.
Yep.
Is that still a part of that? Or is that something that somebody just made up, is once you commit your life to Christ, that's a one-time cleansing or what?
So it is a cleansing. That's all a part of it. It is a one-time cleansing. And a person says it, it's wrong when people try to use it in a ritualistic type of way, because just like his sacrifice is one time for us and his blood's one time, we take that cleansing as everything. That's why it says purifies us from all sin. So when we don't have to claim it, we've already claimed it when we accept him that one time. But people try to use it almost as a magic power. I plead the blood and I'm going to do this, and they try to throw it at people. And I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it a superpower in a way, in the wrong way. This is once again, it's not holy and pleasing to God, because you won't find that same way that they're using it used in the Bible. Okay, so we understand that what the blood did for us, it purified us and it cleansed us from sin. So not only did it cleanse us from what sin has done, making us head to hell, it cleansed us from the power that sin had over us. So it did something that we are in that power that was cleansed by the blood, and that's where it should end. So when people usually use it that way, they're using it in the wrong way, and that's once again where we take God and we incorrectly use something sacred.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. Other questions? All right. So, and when you look on the website, you will see this study. You can download it. It should be in about, after this, after we close out of here, give it another half hour. You should see this up here. And later on, you should see the recordings as well. So we started this, we ended the other one. Please take this stuff in, study it, get to know it, apply it, remove your own understanding, understand within his understanding, start living this. Please let's stop just going through the motions and really grow in him. Let us truly grow in grace. Amen. All right. Let us pray. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again, thank you for this opportunity to come together and to receive your word. Thank you for so much that you continue to give to us, dear Lord, for us to seek you and just to grow in you and just to walk in your ways. As we continue to grow, dear Lord, and as we close out on the one study, help us to make sure that all of our purpose and everything that we do is purposed in you, is grounded in you, that we're growing and learning in you. Please hold us church leaders responsible for teaching your word and feeding your flock, dear Lord, realizing how important it is for them to receive this feeding, dear God. Help us to stay in you, dear Lord, and to be pure. Help us to recognize how serious these things are and not taking on the world's answers to these answers that you have already given us. As we leave out here today, we ask you to bless those who are struggling, those who are going through a hard time. Help us to get clarity on what your word says and stop getting the world's translation of your word, but to be led by you at all times. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say.
Amen. Amen.